from Isaiah, "Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free?" And from Matthew, Jesus said, "Let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." The Protestant Reformation of the 16th century was a cataclysm for Anglicans. A vast amount of the spiritual heritage of the Middle Ages was lost, which we have struggled to regain ever since. And a great deal of progress was made at the same time, in which ordinary people in the world learned that they could be first-class Christians, not inferior to the clergy, because they were justified in God's eyes by faith in Christ crucified, and not by the church's endless list of expensive, sacred, good works. But one thing that was continuous, both before and after the Reformation, that was not lost, and that has remained basic to the Anglican tradition throughout the centuries, is God's care for the poor. The liturgy and homilies kept on saying, give of your substance, relieve the distress of the poor. And prophetic voices again and again have been raised to say since then, where structures are in place that keep people poor, where the distress of the poor comes from oppression by those who mean to keep their privilege at the expense of others, God is at work to turn things upside down. As Jesus proclaimed from Isaiah at the very opening of his ministry, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free." This is an immense part of what God means to be doing in Jesus. Now, of course, that is not all that God is doing. Yes, in God's mercy, Jesus died to forgive our sin, ours and the whole world's. Yes, he rose from the dead to bring eternal life to all who put their trust in him. That is the heart of the good news. Faith in Christ crucified and risen, trust in God's promises, that faith alone makes us stand upright in God's presence as his children. But real faith always brings love with it. And love cannot bear to see hunger and cold and hopelessness grip the lives of millions for whom Christ died and rose. It takes a violently selective reading of Scripture to avoid that calling, a closing of the ears to God's prophets and God's Son, though over the centuries many have tried to do so, sadly. But in the beloved community that our presiding bishop has evoked, in the vision of justice that Martin Luther King Jr. called forth, throughout the Scriptures and in the ministry of Christ, that voice of Jesus rings clear. As he said, "Those who have fed and given drink to the least of my brothers and sisters, who have visited and cared for them, they have done it to me." To me. I spent some time this week with a social worker for the homeless and told her how difficult it was to preach this message. How to deal with the immensity of that challenge, how daunting that cry can be to congregations and to me myself, and for some, infuriating. And what she said to me was this: "I am not much good at meditation and contemplation. I do it, but I don't get very far. Where I actually encounter Jesus' presence, besides the Eucharist every week, is when I am actually talking with one of the homeless people who are my clients. Almost all of them have a vivid sense of God's presence and love in the face of all that has happened to them. when I'm encouraging them and offering them the effective services Santa Clara County offers, Jesus is immediately present to me. That is where I know him. Yes, it is a fundamental part of Christian experience over the centuries that ministry with the poor is a spring of true spirituality. Active compassion mirrors God's compassion. It's one of the chief ways into the heart of God, and one of the chief ways in which the world can see what the real God is like. Not all of us can be immediately active in such ministries. In the body of Christ, not all have the same gifts. I myself am called chiefly to teach. Waiting tables is secondary to my main calling, but I had better wait tables too as long as I can. But not all of us can. Illness, age, the weight of grief, pressing business, good work in the world that keeps the world turning, the care of family, the building up of the church, the struggle for decent politics, those all have their rightful place in God's eyes. But we can do what we can. We can all pray. Many of us can vote. Most of us can give. Some of us can serve. And through all that we do, and in spite of what we cannot do, that call still comes. Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free. And let your lights shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven.